Hey y'all, this is Taylor, and this is the Iconicast podcast by Icon Meals.
Some really cool skills I'm going to be driving and doing this.
Oh, wow. This is going to be a new one then. Cool. I'm down for the risk. I like it. It's going to be dangerous. It's going to be good recording. So, all right. And I won't take up too much of your time. I know that you are obviously driving as well. So... Uriah. Okay. I want to first just say thanks for hopping on for the Icon Meals podcast. I know you know that you're loved around here, right? My name is Taylor, but and I've been eating Icon Meals, not fighting like you, but I have been eating Icon Meals for a while and I power lift and bodybuild. So that's my backstory with kind of how I'm involved. But I do want to just first go ahead and let you just introduce yourself a little bit for people that may not know your backstory into how you really landed your MMA career. So give me some backstory there.
How do I start this?
Right? I know.
My name is Uriah Primetime Hall. I'm originally from Jamaica. Came to America when I was 13 years old. Basically, upon arrival, I was bullied. You know, it's a new culture. New York City, of all places, is just one of those tough environments. So I had to kind of learn to grow up quick. During those stages, I learned a lot about myself. After being bullied so much, I lost confidence. And my mom decided to put me in martial arts. I excelled really fast. Prior to all of that, I wanted to do martial arts, but I was kind of afraid to tell my mom. So I learned how to fight from playing a video game called Tekken, which I moved all the furniture and put it into VHS, if you remember that. And I recorded the whole session of the whole fight theme, and then I started to practicing it, and then I got really good at it. So that was my way of teaching myself. But when the bullying got out of hand, and I started to cut class, and my mom found out, and you know, I didn't know they would call your home when you miss class.
No one does tell you that, right? They don't tell you anyone's going to call your mom. Yeah. I think it's fine. Yeah. I get it.
I didn't know. So my mom called me one day like, dude, you've been missing class. I was like, oh, crap. And I broke down. I started to cry. And, you know, I was like, I'm getting bullied. I hate school. I don't want to go to school. And she brought me to a therapist or whatever that's called. And he was, you know, talking to me, and the first thing he said to me was like, you got no confidence. And I'm like, no shit, genius. And he just proceeded to tell me a bunch of stuff that I don't really remember. But after the session, as we're leaving, I saw a martial arts gym that was right next door to it. And I walked in, you know, and my mom signed me up, did my first class, fell in love with it. And I just kept excelling, and they were looking at me like, how in the world this kid knows all this stuff? And back then I was very shy to say I was practicing at my house through a video game, but now I'm proud of it. And I just got so good and so fast. And, you know, during those times, my sensei tried to make me step outside my comfort zone and wanted me to do tournaments. I was afraid. I just wanted to train. I was like, I don't want to do that. But his whole thing was to get comfortable with the old uncomfortable. And once I did that and I got a good at it, am I still frozen? Am I good?
No, you're good.
Okay. I tried out for the Ultimate Fighter. It was a really low point in my career. I got fired from my job. I bought a one-way ticket to Las Vegas. I tried out with over 800 people. I was selected by number 23, I think. And when I was on the reality show, I mean, I know a lot of reality shows are kind of fixed, but this was as real as it gets. I mean, there was drama, but the producers didn't come to us and say, hey, man, you guys should. It was none of that. It was like you live with people that you have to fight, and, you know, you're roommates with them. It was the weirdest, scariest. It was like a pressure cooker, just being around your teammates and being around another team, and it's all fighters, and it's called the Ultimate Fighter. So obviously one of you has to win. So our team beat their team, but I had to fight my teammate. It was the weirdest thing. And while on the show, I did the spinning hook kick, one of my favorite techniques, and I knocked out this guy named Adam Sella. And it became viral. I remember when that kid came out, And I was in New York and we watched the episode. And I just remember I couldn't walk down the street. In fact, I remember hiding in the bathroom for 2 hours, you know, and I didn't know anything about fame or anything because I came from nothing. And, you know, I remember Dana telling me, hey, man, just be careful. There's a lot of people going to come after you. You know, people going to come after you. I'm like, well, what do you mean? The mafia? He's like, no. Like, you know, people are going to come after you because of your fame, what they saw. You did something so incredible. People are going to want to market you. People are going to throw stuff at you. So I didn't have those proper guidance or anything. And, you know, it was scary. And, yeah, it was a weird time. But looking back now, it's all about growth. And I can say that from a martial arts perspective, martial arts standpoint, in the martial arts world, it's all about growth. We were taught to fight, but only if necessary. I wasn't taught to do this to walk around beating people up. So we learn how to grow because fighting through mental barriers is all about martial arts because it carries over in life. Because life is a fight. Every day is a fight. Waking up is a fight. Doing what you love to do is a fight. Staying committed is a fight. And it's about those battles, whether it's staying healthy, staying regimented, not falling out of bad routines. And I learned to bring that martial arts life over into the real world, and I gain a lot of success from it.
So speaking of success and growth, I do want to focus on one of your mentors, who is Anderson Silva, and I know you recently just fought him as well. So I want to kind of ask you, you know, going through that, being an inspiration, and then, you know, having a match with him, what did that feel like? What was going through your head? Was that pretty surreal for you? Was that exciting? Take me through that.
Well, years prior, the first time I learned about him, saw him, I was watching him on TV and I was saying, oh my God, I would love to train with this guy because I like his style. And, you know, the first time we were supposed to fight, which I didn't want to fight him the first time, I actually asked for another fighter named Michael Bisping because at the time I wanted to beat him up. And the matchmaker said, I don't think Bisping wants to fight you, but Anderson Silva would be a great fight. And I was like, I don't want Anderson Silva. And he's like, it's a great opportunity, man. And I was like, and this was a drunk text because I was in a bar in Queens. And I said, you know, I want to fight Michael Bisping, you know? And my buddy's like, yeah, you should do it. You should text him right now. And I was like, yeah. And this was like 1 a.m, you know, I'm drunk. So I texted and my text made sense. I just said, I wanted to fight this guy. And then they text me back saying, yeah, but you should fight this guy. And I was like, what? And then literally the next day, Dana White, the boss, called me. He was like, hey, I want you to fight Anderson Silva. And I was like, oh, crap. So, you know, I was kind of lured into it. And we took the fight. I flew to Curitiba, Brazil. Went through everything. It ended up not happening because he had a gallbladder surgery, I think. So 3 days before the fight, he had to pull out. And a part of me was like, oof, you know? And, you know, I still looked at him as one of the greatest. And, you know, he's someone that I learned so much from because of his articulateness and in his craftiness in the octagon. And later on, when the fight happened again, I was like, ah, crap. And I remember having the discussion with my coach and he was like, hey man, don't be a bitch. You got to do this. This is a great opportunity. I'm like, yeah, but Anderson Silva, look up. He's like, screw all that. You got to separate those emotions. This is an opportunity to fight your idol. You know, your idol became your rival. And I did it. But being in that warm up to the fight, all those emotions, being scared, being nervous, looking across the octagon and seeing him doing that spider pose, I was like, oh my God, I'm fighting Anderson Silva. And, you know, the first round, me feeling nervous to hurt him. The second round, me having so much respect. And the third round, I just started to get a little warm. And when it happened, and even after the fight, I just burst down in tears because it was the hardest thing to do, beating up someone that I admired so much. It's like beating up your dad. I don't know if anybody want to beat up your dad, but, you know, it felt weird beating up my dad. That's how I saw it.
That's a good comparison. I like that, you know, and I kind of want to say, how many times have you had to tell yourself, you know, don't be a bitch? I feel like I also use that phrase for myself. So to know that it's also approved by you makes me feel like I've done pretty well for myself.
Well, it's how you say, you know, of course the coach is always going to be like, hey, don't be a bitch.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't say
it's not really
unless it's like your coach, you know, like you have to pep yourself up with that, right? Like, I get it.
Yeah, pretty much.
So let me ask you this. Obviously, I think everybody knows success is not an overnight thing, right? We know that. But when somebody listens to this and is aspiring to get to your level or to have your strategy, mindset, what is like one really good nugget you could share maybe to your former self or to those out there, maybe a piece of advice you would love to give yourself when you were younger?
I wouldn't even give myself advice. I would just go back in time and slap the taste out of my mouth. Just one good slap. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you, you know? But you know what? I'm exactly where I need to be. I look at it this way. Life is one of those things that sometimes doesn't make sense right then and there. But later on, I think Steve Jobs said it the best. You look back and all the dots kind of connected. Where whether you're in certain circumstances, like I got fired from this job that I worked my whole life where I didn't know anything else. And me getting fired was an opportunity for me to step outside my comfort zone for growth. And if I didn't get fired, I probably would have been still there, you know, being held back. So people are going to say, yeah, you know, go out there, work hard, do all that. There's working hard, but look at these YouTubers. They're working smart. You know, they're not going out there like me putting my life on the line. They're like creating videos and certain funny contents. And they're like, shit, I can make money. People watching me eat chicken, which is the weirdest shit I've ever heard, that you can actually make money by people watching you eat chicken because some people like the sound of the crunch. Anyways, people are working smart. So find what you're good at. If it's mowing the lawn and you're the best lawn mower, then go out there and mow some fucking lawns, you know? If that's something you're good at, then just do it. And then obviously you're not going to work because it's not work when you're doing something you love.
And I relate to you totally. I wasn't fired, but I was laid off from my like 10-year career. And then I started a business and I can't imagine doing anything else at this point. So I love that you share that, you know? And I think that, I mean, how old are you?
Well, my mindset is 200. My body feels 70. My soul is literally 3,000 years old, but I'm 37.
Okay. So I also connect with you on a lot of levels there. Good. That's nice. So I'm 28, but I will say, I think that people that are, you know, in their 30s, late 20s, we're kind of the first generation to really say F it to society's roles of like, you went to college, you got this degree, you have to do this. So I really love that that is what you said and not some cheesy BS about like keep fighting, you know, and I'm glad because that makes me really happy that you said that. Yeah. Do what you're good at. Like, that's amazing. So know that. I love the real and rawness. I think you and I could have like a nice coffee chat at some point. Like I'm feeling like we vibe on this chat. So I love that.
I'm all about being real.
Right. Yeah. Hell yeah.
Because the world's always trying to change you.
Yes.
I only have me at the end of the day. That's it.
Exactly. So obviously I have to kind of pick your brain a little bit about some icon meals. And I want to see how long you've been eating them. So let me ask you, how many years have you been consuming icon meals?
And it's such a crazy story, first of all. Greg was the guy that introduced me to it Mike Skatia, who's literally across from the gym, his fitness facility, Extreme Studios. I go there a lot. So he had meals one time and, you know, I wanted a quick meal. And I was already being sponsored by this other meal company. You know, they work with our fight team, so it was easy. They came to the gym, they delivered the meals. But some of the meals I wasn't really too fond of because it spoiled too quick. And I was like, what the heck, man? Like, I put this in my fridge and it was spoiled already. Anyways, I remember crossing the street to get some quick meals and the big guy was there. And we had a conversation and he was like, oh, you've been sponsored? I'm like, yeah, you know, I have this meal prep thing going on. And he was like, what meal prep company? This meal prep company called blah, blah, blah. And he was like, oh yeah, what do they do? They do this. And he was like, well, we should sponsor you. And I'm like, I don't know how you want me to do that. I'm already sponsored by them. I don't know how that works. So we did this thing where I tried some of their meals while I was being sponsored by the other meal company. just to kind of get the feel of it. And I loved it.
Yep.
The fact that I can just rip it off, put in the microwave, 1, 2, 3. Because I'm from New York. We're like bada bing, bada boom, in and out. And I loved that. Of course, the meals were great. And, you know, I got all my friends on it. All my friends that came out to see me, I was like, bro, you got to try this, which I shouldn't have done because I ended up eating all my meals. My coach, he's on it right now. You know, he loves it. So I've gotten all my friends to eat it because I'm very proud of it. Everybody I see, influencers, I'm always telling about the meals. And, you know, I'm not looking for a commission or anything. I just, when I like something and I'm proud of it, I share it.
That's so how long? So when was that? How long have you been eating these?
I would say maybe a year or change.
Okay.
Maybe, because I was back and forth with Dallas.
Okay. So around a year, I want to know, obviously you've already kind of told me how amazing Icon meals are, but I want to know, like, what are your go-to staple meals? Like your top three?
My top three is the salmon and the yellow rice. I don't know what type of rice that is, but the salmon, the yellow rice.
Saffron rice? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. With the beans, that is like, it's so easy. It's so quick. You can have it anytime. It's the right amount of portion. It's not too much, and the protein portion is perfect. And that rice is just, it just makes you want more. I love the breakfast with the, man, I'm terrible at this. The pancakes with the sausage and eggs. It reminds me a little bit of WTF, you know? It's like, what the F is going on here? But I love it. It's like, it's a mixture of what's happening, but you just like it. And I like the pizza. You said top three, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Honestly, I like them all. I really do. I really like them all. But the salmon is like my go-to. But I really like them all.
Love that. Love that. I'm the same way. The reason I was asking you about how long you've been eating them is because, so I'm from the Dallas area. I've been consuming these for probably like 6 years at this point, and I've loved watching how the company has evolved and grown. And I keep telling them that they need to bring back this cheesecake that they made so many years ago.
See? You make cheesecake? I love cheesecake.
Listen, Uriah, you have not lived until you've had this, okay? And like they have this birthday cake cheesecake with this like sauce, and I don't know how, the macros were like mind-blowing. So anyway, I'm glad you're on board with me protesting for that to come back. I love that.
Hey, damn right I will.
Hell yeah.
Well, the thing is, my coach, he measures my micros and macros, so yep. Most of the time I'm eating very clean. So when I get the chance to cheat those meals.
Yep, I know. I'm a big fan of the custom. I do a lot of the custom meals. Awesome. Okay, cool. So is there anything else you'd like to share before we hop off and I let you get back to your dangerous driving or what?
Honestly, this is the safest I've ever driven. I mean, my little brother's in the car with my coach and they're not like holding on to the whole shit bar or anything. You know, I've been doing 10 and 2. I'm looking when I'm making turns. I'm in the slow lane. And I'm driving a fast car.
Okay.
If there's anything I can say, meals are worth it. You said the meals are worth it.
the final word was on the Icon meals. Good. That's fine.
The meals are worth it.
So
honestly, be yourself. Whatever the hell that may be, if it's weird, and what the fuck is weird? Weird is just different. And for people who say weird is a weird thing, then they're fucking weird. It's okay to be weird because weird is different. Weird is a change. And people don't like that. Hell that may be. Don't be an asshole. But if you want to be an asshole, then be an asshole because at least we know you're an asshole. But be yourself. Because everyone is taken, right?
Yes.
And people just try to mask themselves. So be yourself.
Put it on a t-shirt. Yeah, put it on a t-shirt. I love that. All right. Cool. Well, Uriah, thank
you. Be yourself. Be real.
Be real. Okay, man. Well, thank you so much for hanging out with me. And we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Bye.
sorry about the dangerous drive and all that stuff. Yes, thank you.
Fine. We'll talk to you later, man.